The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. Today, no war has been declared. And however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, April 14th, 2023. I have a feeling, was he talking about the COVID shenanigans that we just endured over the last few years? So we were listening in the first hour of today's broadcast to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. You may have heard of his uncle. You may have heard of his father as well, who was most assuredly on his way to the White House, to the Oval Office. And, you know, had they both lived, I think this would be a very different discussion and a very different country today. Had either one of them lived, I think still very different. And now, again, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for president. His name is, he's thrown his hat in the ring as the potential Democratic nominee, and we've talked about that. I mean, between him and Vivek Ramaswamy, I don't really think you can go wrong. I think this is beyond political rhetoric. I've talked about how divisive some figures are, how polarizing. These guys are not polarizing. So I feel like this is sort of reaching back to the 1960s, and good things are happening. Those, you know, there are folks, I've talked about Chad O'Jackson lately, and he has said some things about Martin Luther King. I think that he needs to, if he continues on that last year, is pivotal. You have to listen to what was going on in that last year, and I think it was different. Same with Malcolm X. You know, we play clips that are not the characteristic sorts of things that we are encouraged to remember. The things that we are encouraged to forget or not know ever existed. There were things happening in those tumultuous times, and people were realizing that, you know, the Marxist thing, it's not really all it's cracked up to be. And this is just crazy. You know, live by the sword, die by the sword. Hey, you know what? Maybe there's a better way. Maybe we don't need to be at each other's throats. Maybe somebody's trying to put us up to this and play us off against each other. Maybe that's what's going on here. And there were those who were realizing that and reaching across the political divide, so to speak, and, you know, embracing one another in common cause. And that obviously is really bad for the military-industrial complex. If you trust your neighbor, then you don't need the intelligence-industrial complex spying. You don't need that, you know, spying on each other all the time. That's okay. We'll spy on both of you, and we'll, you know, need to know. We'll let both of you know as needed. So this guy is running for president. You may have heard of his father. You may have heard of his uncle. And the things that he is saying, I don't think they are the typical Bernaysian political rhetoric. So we're going to back up a little bit. This, again, for posterity's sake, we're listening to Hillsdale College, the 2022-2023 CCA 4 titled Big Pharma. Again, if you're not familiar, the CCA is Center for Constructive Alternatives, where they get together speakers. They at Hillsdale, they bill it as one of the largest college lecture series in America, and they have some interesting discussions. So yesterday we played a clip from Naomi Wolf's talk, which is titled What's in the Pfizer Documents. We will play more from that. And in the last hour, we played an excerpt from Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s lecture titled Anthony Fauci and the Public Health Establishment. So we're going to jump back into that, backing it up a little bit for posterity's sake, so we get all of the Event 201 stuff in. So without further ado, let's do that, please.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, Event 201 was a pandemic simulation, a coronavirus pandemic simulation that took place in October of 2019. Nobody had ever heard of coronavirus till January. So that's 3 months later. In October, we now know that coronavirus was already circulating in September, so the month before, in Wuhan. But nobody knew about it. And yet they had a coronavirus pandemic simulation in New York City, hosted by Bill Gates and Avril Haines, the former deputy director of the CIA, who did all of the Guantanamo Bay cover-up. She is like the cover-up queen. And they do a simulation, and who else is there? George Gao, the head of Chinese CDC, so, who obviously knows the coronavirus is circulating. He is the world's coronavirus expert. He's also the head of the CDC in China. And then they had all of the social media platforms were there, the big insurance companies, Johnson & Johnson, the big pharma companies, and they meet for 2 days. And they have 4 seminars, and each one is faking this, you know, coronavirus is spreading across the world. And they simulate, they don't say, okay, we got vitamin D to everybody, and we got to make sure everybody gets exercise and gets out of their house and gets healthy and, you know, builds their immune system. And you know, there's none of that. And zinc and, you know, all the things. We got to figure out early treatments. We got to use the computer, the internet to connect all 15 million doctors, frontline doctors around the world, so that we know when they treat people what's working, what's not, and we're constantly upgrading the protocols. That's what they should have been doing. That's not what they were doing. They were working on ways to use the coronavirus pandemic as a pretense for clamping down totalitarian controls globally. And, you know, they talk about in some of these concentration camps and all of this stuff. But here, the last simulation on the fourth day, George Gao and Avril Haines from the CIA are talking, they have a soliloquy about how do we clamp down, stop people from saying this came from a lab leak. So they're saying that. This is in October of 2019. And they say, well, we got to get the social media companies to censor them and deplatform them and all this. You can go on YouTube and watch this tonight. It's called Event 201, and this is the fourth section of it. Oh, and people knew about that, you know, who were looking at this like me. And from almost the beginning, but then I started doing a deep dive when I was writing the book, and I found out that was not a one-off. And I describe in that book, I found about 20 of these that they had been doing since 2001. And they're all scripted by the CIA. And all of them include top-level officials like James Woolsey, the deputy director of the CIA, Taro O'Toole. All of them have senior CIA officials. Many of them have famous people who kind of give an imprimatur of legitimacy to what they're doing, like Madeleine Albright or Tom Daschle or, you know, Bill Gates and a lot of them, and Gro Brundtland from the, you know, from the WHO, people who are respected, and all, and they end up drilling, each one of them is drilling the imposition of totalitarian controls. They're, collectively, they have names like Dark Winter and Crimson Contagion and all these weird names, but collectively they're called Operation Lockstep. And they involved hundreds of thousands of people, public officials from little towns all over America, health officials from the state, police, firefighters, hospital systems, public utilities, and FBI, CIA, U.S. Marshals in Canada, the United States, all over Europe, Australia, and China. They were all doing it together, drilling, here's what we're going to do when a pandemic comes. And a lot of these people, you can see, are surprised about what they're doing. But they're probably looking around and saying, well, everybody else thinks this is okay, so I guess this is what we do when the pandemic comes. So they drilled people into doing something that was clearly contrary to their values. But it got them all teed up to do it and do it all at once and say, this is what you do when there's a pandemic. The first thing you do is you end freedom of speech and you start gutting the Constitution. So, you know, I look back on, in my new book, I talk about the history of the U.S. bioweapons program. And from the beginning, the CIA was running the bioweapons program. Why? Because we didn't have a bioweapons program after World War II. And the CIA's first operation was called Operation Paperclip. And it was an operation to get all the bioweapons and nuclear and chemical scientists out of Germany and Japan, where they had an extensive bioweapons program. The Japanese had a horrendous program where they were doing, they did live vivisections on 3,000 people. You know, they killed them all during the operation, removing their infected organs while they were alive with no anesthesia. And these were horrible, horrible scientists. The CIA elevated them, brought them over to Fort Detrick, downloaded them, and made them the heads of hospital systems and pharmaceutical companies in Japan, and continued to work with them, and they brought all the German scientists over here. And then they did all these experiments unwittingly on the American public. They sprayed toxins in National Airport. They sprayed them in the Pentagon air conditioning system. They put poison water in NIH. They put light bulbs filled with bacteria that they broke on the grates and contaminated the New York City subway system. Some of those microbes still in the subway today. They did aerial dosing and from ships of about 60 million Americans. They dosed San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, all of the seaside towns were dosed from the air, and a lot of the Midwestern cities were also dosed. They're all unwitting. They did 200 outdoor tests on Americans unwitting. And they developed bioweapons that by 1969 had a nuclear equivalent. they could kill people at 29 cents per death, according to a CIA study, which they're bragging about. And then in 69, President Nixon shocks the world by going to Fort Detrick and ending the U.S. bioweapons program. He was worried that we were creating bioweapons that could be reproduced for nothing. They were kind of a poor man's nuclear bomb. Anybody could reproduce them once we, and we were publishing how you did it. So they were giving blueprints to the foreign nations to create these things that could be used against us. And he said, why are we doing this? We have nuclear bombs. We don't need these things. And we have a monopoly on nuclear bombs. Seven nations have them. We've agreed not to give them to anybody else. Why are we letting these guys get, weapons that are going to be turned against us? So he shut down the whole program. The Pentagon destroyed all of its bioweapons. But the CIA went into Fort Detrick right before the Pentagon went in there and took cultures of all the different weapons and hid them in a warehouse. A lot of it was in New York City and Washington, D.C., and they continued. We signed the Bioweapons Treaty, which Nixon, one of the great accomplishments of Nixon, he got all the nations in the world to sign it. We signed the Geneva Convention finally after delaying it for 50 years. The CIA was breaking the law the entire time. Then, in 2001, in June, the CIA sponsors the first of its pandemic simulations. It simulates a biological attack on Washington, D.C. by Saddam Hussein. This is in June 2001. That simulation got international press, and a lot of the CIA people, like Judith Miller from the New York Times, was promoting it, going around doing all the talk shows. It triggered two Senate hearings, one by Joe Biden's committee. And that hearing was in September 2001. What happened in September 2001? The 9/11. So that hearing was going on during 9/11. As soon as 9/11 happened, the neocons, which were working on all this stuff with the CIA, pulled out the Patriot Act, a 350-page statute from a shelf where it had been waiting for a while, and in 1 week said, we want to pass this in a week. There's only one member of Congress who read it, which was Dennis Kucinich, and he went crazy and said, you have no idea, this is the end of American democracy if you do this. It allows the CIA to spy on Americans. One of the things the Patriot Act did is it did not get rid of the Geneva Convention or the Bioweapons Treaty, but it said no federal official can be prosecuted for violating those two statutes. So it reopened the bioweapons arms race globally. And a week after, when the Patriot Act was being debated, and it was being held up by two senators, there was an anthrax attack on the U.S. Capitol. It was blamed on Saddam Hussein, and the neocons all said, see, we were right in the pandemic simulation. Saddam Hussein attacked us. And we used that as a justification to go to war against Saddam Hussein. And within 2 days, we passed the Patriot Act. Who got the anthrax? Two Senate offices, Tom Daschle and Patrick Leahy, the two senators who were blocking the Patriot Act. The FBI did a one-year investigation. They said this anthrax was unique. It was Ames anthrax, and there's only one place in the world it could have come from, Fort Detrick, the CIA lab. So we went to war, we passed the Patriot Act, and immediately started giving $2 billion a year to bioweapons development.
So the Pentagon didn't want to do it. We're going to pause it there so we can go to break, but you may have heard this guy's running for president. Pretty amazing. Stick around. We'll be right back.
subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to The Freedom Times today.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Welcome back. You never know what can happen. So we should not be, you know, allow the unconventional warfare psyops campaigns to have their, you know, desired effect of wearing us out and exhausting us and demoralizing us. Keep the faith. You know, this is a place, Republic Broadcasting Network is a place, one of those rare beacons that has been keeping the faith. You never know. This is an interesting time. We'll see how we respond. We'll see what kind of leadership we get. Will we get the leadership that we deserve? I was talking to a friend recently, and I said, you know, I think that Ron Paul was the last person who really moved the needle, got people out of the armchair. That includes Barack and the cult of personality. That includes the Donald. I remember what was going on 15 years ago and how, you know, people were mobilized. I was mobilized. And if we could catch the fire between this guy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Vivek Ramaswamy, there's something happening. There are people who are not being whipsawed by the Marxist Freudian psychodrama, but who are genuinely stepping back, taking stock, and saying something is wrong. You know, as you listen to this guy who's running for president, by the way, maybe you've heard, it sounds like, you know, any number of reruns from this network that you've heard over the years. That is amazing. And this is not divisive rhetoric. This is not agitprop. And this is someone who's very intimately familiar with some of this history. Speaking of the neocons, the Project for a New American Century, Rebuilding America's Defenses, the, you know, what he is alluding to. And on page 60 of the document, American forces, advanced forms of biological warfare that can target specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool. Is that what we've seen in the last 3 years? Politically useful tools, very, you know, the poor man's nuclear weapon, as Bobby Kennedy Jr. said. If you listen to these folks, you know, if you listen to what Naomi Wolf was saying, that's what we're talking about. Biological warfare. Bioweapons. So a little bit more of Bobby Kennedy Jr. before we go out in this segment. Can we do that, please?
$2 billion a year to bioweapons development. The Pentagon didn't want to do it because it was nervous about the legality, because it was a death penalty to violate the Geneva Convention. Oh, you would have been committing a war crime, even if somebody told you it was okay. It wasn't. And so they funneled it through DITRA and DARPA. They funneled all of that money to NIH, to NIAID, which became the primary spear tip of bioweapons development. So Tony Fauci became the bioweapons czar in 2001. His budget went up by $2.2 billion. He was personally given a 68% raise from the military. That's why he was the highest paid individual in the federal government, because he was getting this 68% bonus every year from the military. But it meant that he could not stop. And the thing the military wanted was gain-of-function studies, where they could take wild viruses and turn them into bioweapons. And bioweapons development always includes vaccine development, because unlike chemical weapons, with bioweapons, there's always blowback. It's called the boomerang effect. If you give your enemy bubonic plague, your guys are going to get it first, too. They're going to get it quickly. So the only way you can deploy a bioweapons is if you have already developed a vaccine. So the race is to develop a vaccine simultaneously with the bioweapons, and then you can deploy the bioweapons, and your enemy will take a couple of years to develop the vaccine. And you can inoculate all of your team. So in 2014, three of Tony Fauci's bugs escaped from federal labs. And their escapes were public. And it caused a huge brouhaha. There were Senate hearings, and people were immensely upset. And 300 scientists wrote a petition to President Obama saying, you have to shut down Tony Fauci. He's going to cause a global pandemic. And Obama declared a moratorium and ordered Fauci to shut down the 18 studies he was then doing. As I show in my book, he didn't do it. He instead took that science and he moved it offshore to the Wuhan lab and to the Ukraine.
Unbelievable. This guy's running for president. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
We can all expect to pay more at the pump again. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. I carry a gun to protect those around me. I'm a member of Right to Bear to protect my legal rights. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com for affordable carry insurance. Yesterday, the average price for a gallon of gas was $3.50. Also yesterday, OPEC Plus announced that beginning next month, they will be cutting oil production by 1.15 million barrels a day. The announcement, let alone the production cut, are certain to cause gas prices to rise even higher. Remember, gas prices go up, so does the cost of everything else. Between inflation and gas prices, cost of living is getting out of control. For the sake of background, don't forget that on the day President Biden took office, the national average gas price was $2.39 a gallon. For more news and commentary, visit liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Vice President Johnson, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chief Justice, President Eisenhower, Vice President Nixon, President Truman, Reverend clergy, fellow citizens. We observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing an end as well as a beginning, signifying renewal as well as change. For I have sworn before you and Almighty God the same solemn oath our forebears prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. The world is very different now, for man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed and to which we are committed today at home and around the world. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. This much we pledge and more. To those old allies whose cultural and spiritual origins we share, we pledge the loyalty of faithful friends. United, there is little we cannot do in a host of cooperative ventures. Divided, there is little we can do, for we dare not meet a powerful challenge at odds and split asunder. To those new states whom we welcome to the ranks of the free, we pledge our word that one form of colonial control shall not have passed away merely to be replaced by a far more iron tyranny.
We got to move on. I want to, you know, listen to the rest, but we have business to which to attend. So I just want to say before we're gonna get back to the Naomi Wolf lecture, her talk. You know, we played the clips of that yesterday, and before we do that, let me just mention a few of the other, speaking of what Bobby Kennedy Jr. was talking about there at the end. Basically, I mean, did you hear how NIH and NIAID became the bioweapons development incubator, gain of function incubator? So to say, I mean, with the history there that you get, to say that, you know, we're not doing gain of function researches, I mean, you should be probably criminally indicted just for saying that in front of Congress. Aren't you under oath, Anthony Fauci, when you do that? I believe so. So just to give you an idea, this stuff doesn't ever stop. May I give you some examples just during COVID of the things that were going on? Just some of the names. Let's see. The Scarlet Response was last May 2025 or 2022. Excuse me, May 26, 2022 was one of them, and where are the others? Capitol Shield, we talked about back around the time. That was September of 2021. And there are a number of these drills and exercises that continue on. There are others. We're running out of time, so I'm gonna skip that, and we'll go back to the Naomi Wolf lecture. We played part of that yesterday, and so we're going to kind of pick up from there today. So can we do that, please?
But the government of the United States, and I'm embarrassed to say I voted for these people, didn't tell parents until August of 2021 that there was an elevated risk of heart damage in healthy young adults. 4 months later, And in those 4 months, what did the young adults of America receive? A constant battering with propaganda on social media, on television, in news outlets, bought up by money in the CARES Act, as well as from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, with like influencers showing off their injection site, saying, you know, we can do this together, we can be strong, do it for grandma. All of this aimed at young adults. They did not tell the young adults, the healthy young adults of the United States, your generation, that this was elevating a risk of heart damage, till 4 months later. You may recall that the CDC said that the materials of the injection stay in the injection site. And the materials are lipid nanoparticles. They are mRNA. And the lipid nanoparticles are an industrial fat, which is covered in polyethylene glycol, which is a petroleum byproduct, right? And spike protein. Well, the CDC said it stays in the injection site. And then it says, and I remember asking doctors, like, relatives who were doctors and were funded by NIH grants, where does the spike protein go? And they were like, you know, when you're a journalist, you've got an ear for nonsense. They were like, well, your body metabolizes it, you know, or, well, you'll digest it and excrete it. And it's like they had no evidence to give me to show me the basis for their response. But in fact, that's not what happens to these materials. And Pfizer knew that. These materials biodistribute, this is Pfizer's language, throughout your body in 48 hours. And where do they settle? Well, lipid nanoparticles are designed to cross every membrane in the human body. They've known this for 10 years. So where do these ingredients go? They go to the brain. Some of you have noticed changes in the personalities of loved ones who have taken these injections. They biodistribute to the liver, the adrenals, the spleen, and if you're a woman, they accumulate in your ovaries. Now, these are industrial fats coated with polyethylene glycol in your ovaries, okay? And what's really scary, Dr. Robert Chandler, who's a respected pathologist who's treated the Lakers and the Angels, he wrote this report, and he shows that the chart shows the graph going down as it leaves the injection site, but going up as it accumulates in these various organs over time. And what's incredibly scary if you're a woman is that there's no mechanism that we've found by which the body gets rid of the lipid nanoparticles in the ovaries. So your first injection, some go into your ovaries. Your second injection, more go into your ovaries. Your booster, more go into your ovaries. There's no mechanism with which the body can release this material that we've seen. And Pfizer knew. So the lipid nanoparticles, as I mentioned, cross every membrane in the human body. And not unexpectedly or not surprisingly, in the Pfizer documents, it shows that in only 3 months, there were 1,200 plus deaths out of 42,000 plus adverse events. And there are catastrophic categories of the kinds of side effects that people sustain. And what's so heartbreaking to me knowing this is that these are not the same side effects that the CDC tells you about or your doctor tells you about. The CDC will say, you'll have fatigue, you'll have chills maybe, there'll be a little swelling at the injection site. That's not what's in the Pfizer documents. There's, at industrial scale, strokes, hemorrhages, blood clots, lung clots, leg clots, neurological disorders, dementia-type disorders, Guillain-Barré, Bell's palsy. The neurological disorders are at industrial scale, but also side effects you don't necessarily expect. But now that I know about them, I see them everywhere. The number one side effect is joint pain, which is so interesting, right? Did the CDC tell you about joint pain? And yet I know healthy young adults who are limping or who have had knee problems or shoulder problems, their shoulders separated. Well, think about lipid nanoparticles. They go through every membrane. They're going through cartilage, They're destabilizing cartilage. And the other surprising side effect is myalgia, muscle pain. And again, I know healthy men in their 40s and 50s, you know, ate right, went to the gym, all the things, organic food, in constant pain from muscle pain. And that's right there at industrial scale in the Pfizer documents. But you are not told about that. But in addition, I don't say lightly that it's mass murder. There are 61 deaths from stroke, for example. Half of the stroke adverse events took place within 48 hours of the injection. There are 5 deaths from liver damage, and half of the liver damage adverse events took place within 48 hours of the injection. Now, one of the most disturbing reports is Report 56, which is about children. And this is so chilling. So the emergency use authorization for children didn't get passed until about 4 or 5 months ago. But in early 2021, in other words, when it wasn't legal to do this, Pfizer injected 62 kids, some of them as young as 2 months old. 28 of them, we don't know what happened to them. That we don't know if they survived. Among the 34 whose records are still in the Pfizer documents, there's a 7-year-old British girl who sustained a stroke, and there's a 2-month-old baby with liver damage. And so this is such a chilling report because it's clear, and we did additional investigation of this, there were 1,000 kids in the United States in different university hospitals, including Rochester Medical Center, that were experimented on prior to it being legal to inject children with this material. And I can promise you, these are what society calls throwaway kids. These are not kids whose parents have lawyers. These are not kids with whose parents have a voice. We're going to find that these are kids who are institutionalized, who are orphaned or discarded in some way and used in this way. Now I want to dial. Are you guys okay? Can I keep going? Okay, all right. It's tough. Now I want to go to the centerpiece of what we found in the Pfizer documents. It's not even the deaths. It's not even the disabilities. What is abundantly clear, and I don't say this lightly, I'm Jewish. My grandmother lost 9 brothers and sisters in the Holocaust. I don't talk about Mengele or Nazi experiments lightly. But in the center of the documents, there is a literally Mengele-type experiment at a grand scale on human reproduction. 360-degree experiment on how to disrupt and impair human reproduction. So, for example, in the Pfizer documents, women were told not to get pregnant, which is interesting, right? It's a respiratory disease. Why would you tell women not to get pregnant? But nonetheless, 270 women got pregnant. Out of those 270 women, Pfizer lost the records, which is illegal. You're supposed to, by law, follow subjects to the end of the trial. They lost the records of 234 of these pregnant women. Of the 36 women whose pregnancies came to term, over 80% of them lost their babies. Spontaneous abortion or miscarriage. Many people have asked me, is shedding real? Right? Anecdotally, and in fact, I got deplatformed because I reported that women were describing disruptions in their own menstrual cycles or feeling ill around other women, like coworkers who had recently received an injection. Shedding is real. In the Pfizer documents, Pfizer defines exposure to the vaccine as skin contact, inhalation, and sexual intercourse, especially at conception. And this is very bad news, and I'm sorry, but they seem to identify the risk or the transmission of exposure to the vaccine as male to female in sexual intercourse. And they specifically told the men in the trials not to have intercourse with childbearing age women. And if they did, to use two reliable forms of birth control. So there was clearly something about conceiving with a vaccinated male that Pfizer was guarding against. So we know now that there's horrific damages to conception from this injection. As I keep saying, the lipid nanoparticles traverse every membrane. The placenta is a membrane. Of course, I mean, the most sacred place in the world is the placenta with a baby gestating in it, right? You can't impair or compromise that membrane without damaging that fetus and that fetal environment. The lipid nanoparticles traverse the placenta, they get into the environment of the fetus, and maternal fetal medicine specialist named Dr. Jim Thorpe has found in his patients that the placentas have a network of calcifications caused by these lipid nanoparticles, and babies are being delivered earlier because of these impaired or compromised placentas, and he's seeing at great scale chromosomal abnormalities in newborns of vaccinated mothers. Lipid nanoparticles in the Pfizer documents are also revealed to enter breast milk. And this stands to reason. Remember, we were told, oh, these materials stay in the injection site. Well, they're circulating through the blood. What is breast milk made of? It's built up out of blood and lymph. So the lipid nanoparticles covered in polyethylene glycol are entering breast milk of nursing mothers, and nursing babies in the Pfizer documents sustained seizures. And one baby died in the ER after nursing from a vaccinated mother from multi-organ system failure. Four of the moms who are lactating in the Pfizer documents had breast milk that turned blue-green. And by the way, this is not just the Pfizer documents. The NIH did a study subsequently that also found that babies nursing from vaccinated moms were having failure to thrive, not putting on weight. They were agitated and restless and sleepless. They downplayed it. But I just want to tell you, like, as a woman, just for a moment, it's hard, right? It's hard enough to be a healthy woman menstruating, conceiving a baby, carrying a baby, delivering a baby, nursing a baby. These are great, great gifts, but they take a lot of strength and stamina and, you know, social support and love. They're not easy to do. And nursing a baby is not easy to do when you're at your most healthy. So I want to tell you that as a woman and as a feminist and as a mom, when I read that nursing mothers have gone in the last 2 years from 34% of all moms to 16% of moms, something's wrong, right? Not only are babies in the next generation not getting that primal experience of total love, total nurture, total safety, which is so important, but there's something that is leading the moms to not be able to nurse those babies. And I think we have a clue here in the contamination of vaccinated moms' breast milk. I also want to note that Bill Gates rolled out lab-grown breast milk right at the moment that women were suffering these harms to their own ability to sustain their children. Dr. Chandler, in the Pfizer documents, I'm also going to say it's a constant theme is a war against women, and really a war against women's ability to reproduce. In the Pfizer documents, Dr. Chandler found that of the adverse events, 72% of them were sustained by women. And this is constant throughout. It's a constant 3-to-1 women to men. It's not that men are not being harmed, but it's that women are being harmed so disproportionately. And of the 72% of adverse events, there's this chart, which is so hard to look at, in the Pfizer documents, in which Pfizer defines 16% of those adverse events as, quote, their words, reproductive disorders. Their words. In that chart, and this is 0.49 for men, not that that's not, you know, bad. It's bad. But it's like, what kind of monsters look at 16% reproductive disorders and keep going? In that chart, in that section of the documents, there's a kind of a subchart with names, scientific names. And again, if you're a woman or a mom, this is going to make your head explode. There are 20 different scientific names for ruining women's menstrual cycles in that chart, right there. And this is why I say Nazi medicine, because, you know, it's bad enough what the Nazis did, but an additional layer of what's chilling and anti-human is how scientific their records were. So there's a scientific name for having two periods a month, or a scientific name for bleeding every single day of the month, or a scientific name for not having any menstrual cycle at all month, and you can assume you're not fertile or not easily fertile under those circumstances. Horrible. I mean, there are children in the audience, so I don't want to get too graphic, but scientific names for the most horrible things you can imagine being done to the bodies of women. You know, women years postmenopausal, bleeding, 10-year-old girls having menarche upon being injected, and horrible things that I won't describe being part of women's experience of menstruation. So I just want you for a minute to imagine, as educators and as parents, not even as students, because I feel like I'm burdening you enough with this information, but think about how hard it is. You know, women have so many jobs, right? They're students, they're moms, they're workers, they're wives, they're parents. I guess I said moms. It's a big job. You know, and now imagine doing that with this debilitating health condition.
Yeah. It's horrifying to listen to. And like I said, I mean, if you listen and you are gripped by this and suddenly find yourself weeping uncontrollably, it's not surprising. This should not be happening. It's long past time that we call a woe to this nonsense. It's been, you've heard from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and again from Naomi Wolf. This, we were listening to Hillsdale College's 2022-2023 CCA 4 Big Pharma, which was held last month, March 5th through 8th, you know, which is their lecture series on constructive alternatives. And, you know, what more can you say? I would say listen to the entirety of those two lectures at least, and circulate them far and wide. Maybe, just maybe, we can turn a good corner, even though there's a lot of collateral damage. And pray, obviously, because, it, you know, in my opinion, it's first and foremost a spiritual battle, always. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast and the week. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative, and believe it or not, I hope it was edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.